Usually when we think about promises, we picture something totally external, like a signed contract or, a handshake.
Right. It's out there in the world, enforced by social pressure. But when you remove that audience, well, things get complicated.
Exactly. Welcome to our deep dive into day three of week 15's work on Law 15, which is always keep your word, especially when doing so is difficult. Today is all about prepping you for your daily reflection on quotes. And okay, let's unpack this. Keeping a promise to yourself isn't just about feeling good. I mean, it actually constructs your psychological identity.
Oh,
When
absolutely.
you follow through, you are literally proving to your brain that you are a reliable entity.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is the physical mechanism behind that. When you break a commitment, even a silent one to yourself, your brain's anterior cingulate cortex registers it as a literal error.
Wait, an error, like a mistake in the code.
Exactly like that. It monitors conflicts and mistakes. So breaking your word drops your baseline of self-trust. You are essentially training your nervous system to expect failure.
Wow. Which is exactly why the words we use to anchor ourselves matter so much, right? Looking at the workbook options for today's practice, I immediately grabbed Marcus Aurelius.
Oh, a stoic. Good choice. Which one?
The one that says, "Waste no more time arguing what a good man should be. Be one."
I love that. It is just so delightfully blunt.
Right. In my clinical work, I constantly see this analysis paralysis. People use debating the concept of goodness as this intellectual defense mechanism, to delay taking difficult action.
Yeah, they talk themselves out of actually doing the work.
Exactly. Bringing this quote into a daily practice strips away that excuse. It just forces an immediate behavioral pivot.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, I went the other direction with Johann Wolfgang von Goethe for my workbook pick. He said, "You can easily judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him."
Oh, that is a great one. So how does that look from a neuroscience perspective?
Well, if we look at the brain's reward circuitry, transactional social behavior, like being exceptionally kind to your boss, that triggers a massive dopamine hit.
Because it signals potential status gain, right? Neurological social climbing.
Precisely. True integrity, however, requires bypassing that dopamine pathway entirely. It's choosing the harder action when there is zero neurochemical reward of external validation.
That distinction between external reward and internal anchor, that actually perfectly lines up with the second task for today, which is pulling a quote of our own. For my self-sourced quote, I brought in Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, I think I know the one.
Yeah, he said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy."
A classic for a reason. But why that one specifically for Law 15?
Because it gets right at the core of psychological stress testing. When we are comfortable, our prefrontal cortex easily simulates good behavior, but under acute stress.
The brain falls back on its most ingrained neural pathways.
Exactly. Easy promises do not test your actual system. You only really know your true baseline character when the conditions are actively working against you.
Right, and preparing that system beforehand is why I pulled Stephen Covey for my self-sourced quote. He wrote, "Private victories precede public victories. Making and keeping promises to ourselves precedes making and keeping promises to others."
Which really highlights something that genuinely surprised both of us about this week's work.
Yeah, this idea that keeping your word means valuing it before you give it.
Right.
When you prioritize that private victory, you stop reflexively saying yes to people just to alleviate immediate social tension. You fiercely guard your commitments because you know the actual neurological cost of breaking them.
Hold on, let me push back here just a bit. I get the sentiment, but what does this practically do for your daily routine as a listener?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Like, is collecting quotes just a feel-good exercise? Or is there an actual functional change happening? We always hear this analogy about writing software for the brain, but how does a quote actually run like code?
Oh, that is a really great question. So think of your brain like a computer encountering a stressor, say a temptation to break a deadline.
Okay, I'm with you.
If you haven't written any code for that situation, your brain defaults to the path of least resistance. But when you write down these specific quotes daily, associating them with Law 15's mental code rewrites, you are compiling a new script.
Wait, so you're talking about rewrites like all commitments or contracts never let me enter one lightly.
Exactly that one. The physical act of writing recruits motor pathways and visual processing, which physically thickens those synaptic connections.
So you're literally building a cognitive firewall against breaking your word.
Exactly. When the stress hits, your brain executes this new, stronger script instead of the lazy default.
All right, so for you listening, your task today is exact. Select one of the workbook quotes, source one quote of your own, and physically write or type them onto your daily practice page.
Right, meaning your three times a day practice stack now upgrades to two quotes, three distill points, and three code rewrites.
And definitely get ready, because tomorrow on day four, we are going to weaponize this by diving into the Iron Method framework.
Oh man, that is really where the rubber meets the road.
It really is. But before we go, think about this. We spend our whole lives meticulously trying to build a good reputation with our neighbors, our bosses, our peers. But what if the only reputation that dictates your ultimate happiness is the one you hold with yourself?